Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Thanks to Audible.com for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with over 150,000 downloadable titles. For a free audiobook of your choice, just go to audiblepodcast.com/TMOS. Remember, go to audiblepodcast.com/TMOS and get your free audiobook. Thank you, Audible.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, what a rare day it is when Pony comes in with a an anecdote that he shares with the rest of the class. And I'm fascinated by this. I had no idea. And then
you're
Pony
a student
does,
of history, Mike.
Well, Pony does what Pony does. As soon as he comes in, first thing out of Rob's mouth today when I greet him, and this is how Rob greets me. It's not good morning. It's not how was your weekend. It's a, did you know that a disc jockey invented the microwave? And then we discuss it a little bit, and then Pony says, well, maybe not. So what is the story? And what I have no idea what's going on. Is this something you read? Is this something that was in your brain? How did it work?
Well, this was told to me by someone that a disc jockey was doing a broadcast, and he had set a sandwich on a
His name, Mike, was Sean Hall, and he brought a large sandwich.
I think we know what name it was. Yeah. Gee, I've got work to do. Where is my sandwich? Yeah.
What I need for lunch today is a portable meal, perhaps protein, between two slices of bread.
This ham and cheese on white sure is boring, not being cooked.
Wait a minute.
I interrupted you, Pony. I'm sorry. What happened with the sandwich? What was the deal?
Well, he noticed when it was sitting on this transmitter that it started heating up, and he said, well, I've got a great idea.
After this break, I'll tell you what common food was invented by the Earl of Sandwich.
You know, I've been a disc jockey for 57 years, and my body is chock full of radiation.
I glow in the dark.
This is so exciting. Look what I've invented. I will no longer have to rely on my low-paying DJ salary.
Meanwhile, more time at the transmitter means hot food for everybody.
Hey, Pearl, our receptionist, why don't you hand me that lasagna in the Tupperware and I'll put it on top of our transmitter and you can heat it up for your lunch.
I went out to make sure the lights on the transmitter were working. And I looked in my car, and I had a jar of Orville Redenbacher. It exploded. If I had salt and butter, it would have been a day. And all the lights were working.
I was having a cocktail party back at the house, and I had a block of solid cheddar cheese that I was bringing home to cut up and put on some crackers. When I went out to the transmitter site, lo and behold, I'd made queso.
I was handing out the Marty receiver, and I said, there is no way I can get this steak thawed in time for supper. It was solid as a rock. I put it on the Marty receiver, and in 4 minutes, ready for the grill.
Not only will I do a DJ shift, but I will live on a steady diet of frozen dinner.
I can make a baked potato in 5 minutes, as long as I am at the broadcast center.
Who is the disc jockey that invented the microwave, Pony?
Well, there was a guy named Percy Spencer, but I
Percy
came to
Spencer.
Find
out. Percy!
Welcome to the Percy Spencer Show.
I came to find out it was all a bunch of BS that I had been told, and Percy Spencer worked for Raytheon developing radars and...
He wasn't maybe he was a club jock.
Now it's time for the segment where I make fun of people I don't like. The segment is called Percy Has No Mercy.
Jesus Christ.
We're going to break this old transmitter with a huge 4-pound hammer. We call it the Percy Sledge.
This is Percy Spencer. I won't be coming in on Monday because I've invented something fabulous that you can enjoy in your kitchen. Yes, sir.
What year did this supposedly go down?
Oh, geez, I'm looking right now. It was in the 40s, like right after World War II.
I'm just back from Japan. And you won't believe what I found. It almost looks like a glass box. And I said, this would be a great way to dry a dog. Do not put a dog in my new Percy Sledger wave.
Hey, Ludmilla, give me those scrambled eggs before you put them in the frying pan. I'm going to put them in this piece of crockery and make scrambled eggs.
Hey, I was talking to another engineer, and he said, can I cook a sandwich wrapped in foil? I said, don't do it. You will see sparks.
Come on, kids. Let's take some ice cubes down to the transmitter and watch them melt fast.
Then go to the voting booth to re-elect Truman, because it's 1948.
Percy Spencer Show.
So he invented it, or did he get credit? Of course he didn't. He's a disc jockey.
He's from Howland, Maine, of all places.
Mm-hmm. He's from Howland, Maine?
Down yes. East Maine.
Well, Jesus Christ. My goodness. I had a tuna sandwich, just a regular tuna sandwich on rye bread, and I went over to get it, and it was like a tuna freaking casserole.
It was like a tuna
I
melt.
Almost said a bad word there. I swear to God. Jesus Christ, will you feel the temperature on my lunchbox?
Is it actually a pail, though? It's a lunch pail.
My lunch pail, my black lunch pail that I brought in my post-World War II lunch pail.
That's what we have right now.
Hey, so, aren't you glad rationing is over? As much sugar as you want.
Absolutely. Let go of my ego. So Percy Spencer invented it, and did he get credit?
Well, he got credit for discovering it. Again, the real story sucks balls. I hate it. He had a candy bar in his pocket, and it started melting in his pocket. This is the real story.
And he figured out that there was some that the heat, and he related it to microwaves or something.
As opposed to what? If you're not by a microwave, a candy bar in your pocket isn't going to melt.
Yeah, well, you could be in Juneau. You could be in Juneau, Alaska, in January, and you put a friggin' Hershey bar in your pocket. It's going to melt.
Yeah, DJs, especially DJs, throw off a lot of heat.
Oh, yeah.
And do you know why I have that happen to me, Pony? I'll tell you. You know why Rob and I know that candy bars in the pocket melt?
Why?
Because that happens to us three times a day.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
So can I go now? Can I say something to
you? Yeah, shoot.
Okay.
You're a hack. You're a moron, and you're barely a comedian. I hate following you on stage. And I resent that I have to go on after you. I hate being in the same profession as you. I hate being on the same stage as you every night.
Yeah, you know what, dude? At least I'm getting laughs.
Yeah, by telling fart jokes.
Hey, don't knock the fart jokes. Those are my babies. Those are my fart babies. What, you don't like farts? You gotta sit there and tell me farts aren't funny. Seriously, look me in the eye and tell me farts aren't funny. Come on. Look me in the eye. Oh, man. Dude, what are you doing? You crying? Oh, God. Dude. Jesus. Dude, take a deep breath. Something. Let it out. Let it out. What? What do you want? What? Tell me.
I love fart jokes. Farts are hilarious.
What?
Farts are funny. Of course farts are funny.
See, I told you. I knew it. I knew it.
They make a little toot noise and they come out of your ass. And they smell bad.
There's never been a day where a fart has not been funny.
Every
never.
Fart is funny.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Always nice when we start a Mike O'Mara Show week off with our mission statement. Coming to you live from the Cappy Pfeiffer Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This
is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show is a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you are here, ladies and gentlemen, you do too. And we are brought to you today by our good friends at Sleep Number Beds. Summer is finally here, and you want to have the energy to enjoy every single moment of it. I am looking forward to seeing people arrive in the Great White North so I can go on a boat. I love my Sleep Number bed. Every single morning I wake up refreshed. You have to go to a Sleep Number store right now.
Hold it. We must be clear. When is the time to go?
Right now.
Okay.
The only place you'll find the Sleep Number bed with Sleep IQ technology. My Sleep Number bed lets me choose the comfort and support that is just right for me. Right now, my Sleep Number setting, as it has been for a good long time, is 85. Mm-hmm. And you know why I keep it at 85? Because that's mine. That's my setting.
You
just like
it.
You can have your setting with your Sleep Number bed, and it's perfect, and you'll enjoy it. And the built-in Sleep IQ technology will track your sleep by using the dual air technology inside the bed, and it will tell you exactly how to have the best sleep of your life. Nothing to wear, nothing to turn on. All you have to do is sleep. My Sleep Number setting again is an 85. Carla's is a 65. Come in right now and discover the Sleep Number bed and Sleep IQ technology and save from $500 to $650 on a Sleep Number P6 mattress. No better sleep. Find your Sleep Number setting today at any of the 450 Sleep Number stores nationwide, and you can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And don't forget to tell a Buckle Barrel sent you. Thank you very much, everybody.
I think Maine is good for you. You look good.
Why?
You do look good.
Doesn't he just look good?
He looks great. The only concern I have with Mr. Mike O'Mara these days is that his DirecTV is hooked up. Probably.
No.
No, it is not.
Prior to your arrival.
Why do we have a wobble?
Rob Spiewak, tell the man that arrived at 1 minute after 10 a.m. Tell him, what did I do when I got here at 9:45 this morning, 15 minutes before airtime, after doing show prep from 6:30 in the morning? Tell Mr. Santana what I said.
He phoned Frau O'Mara, or as we like to call her, Frau Mara. He called Frau Mara and said, Carla, unplug the DirecTV unit. And I have to believe an obedient wife would have done just that.
Now, the question is, did she do that because we had a little skip when we were talking to you?
Ooh, now that makes me nervous because she did do that. She does everything I tell her to do.
I'd just rather get this out of the way now.
Call her because, see, make sure.
Oh, and I got one. I just got one there. No.
Phone her and make sure. Maybe she didn't realize the import of it.
No. It's skipping all over the place up here right now.
It's like a record.
Yeah.
Now, see,
skip that much since Alan Cumming.
You know how I knew this was going to happen? I knew this was going to happen because I was so confident going into this, and I was telling people over the weekend how seamless it was, and I knew that it would be problematic. And now I'm looking at you guys, and you're already starting to go like that.
More max headroom.
I'm starting to freak out about it.
Make
so
sure
I'm going to calm down.
It. Make sure she didn't call her up.
Yeah,
yeah. You know she's
sometimes
a busy lady,
and if she didn't, you know, you can say, "Hey, I completely understand."
And you know what? She might not realize the import of the situation.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, those dorks."
Yeah, that's
they really.
You
think
know what I have to do?
Wi-Fi.
I have another thing I have to disconnect.
Yes. What's that?
A smart TV.
So that's hooked
a
up.
A smart TV. That's hooked up with that. With that. It, but yes. if I.
Yes, it
would. Draw. That, it would draw every bit.
But
as
even
much
if it's
internet.
Even if the TV's powered off,
doesn't
it would
matter.
It would,
yeah. Doesn't
you
matter.
You would have to unplug the TV
if there's an update or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just a vampire.
I'd have to unplug the TV.
Suck it on the pipe. That's all it's doing.
Yeah.
Oscar, by the way, you do not have to sell me on that anymore because I am such a true. I see it so clearly when that happens, and I know she just unplugged it because I know that was the one wild card that we had here, and I know it's true. I know it's true. I know it's
just
true.
Just do me a
Let
favor.
Me double check.
Keep buying things that connect to the internet, please. I really would appreciate that. Please, if you can just do that.
Hey, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do up here?
It is.
Do you know
of
how much
thing.
Fun
it's
I
sort of
had?
A hot thing now, the internet, very popular.
Do you know how much fun I had with my Amazon Vizio with the Netflix built in last night? I was having.
Oh, that's
you
fantastic.
Know what? Also, I had
what did
fun.
You look at?
I had fun. I had fun going to YouTube and going to the Mike O'Mara Show YouTube channel.
Welcome to 2015.
And seeing
2012.
Now,
really.
See what is it? Which do you want? Me to not buy things that hook into the internet, or which way do you
want
it? Damn it!
Like a pilot to make a checklist of things that you've hooked up to the internet to unhook before you broadcast from Maine.
And
that's
also, Mike, like a pilot, right. I'd like you to wear a hat.
A captain's hat.
That'd be good.
See, mine just crapped out again.
Well, maybe,
very nervous.
Maybe it's
this
on
morning.
Our side. I don't think it should be. But
how about
no,
your,
I
how about
what?
Your phone?
How about what?
Is your
phone
off?
Phone off?
Yeah, the phone's on.
Okay.
Yeah, the phone is
computer?
Not on. I'm going to check the iPad.
Everything counts.
We are all so plugged in. That is what it is. I
it's
mean,
tough.
That's a very,
it's tough to disconnect.
It is.
Right? But through the magic of technology, you get to do the radio show from Maine.
Exactly.
Hold on.
What's
hold
this?
On,
oh, culprit number three.
Oh, the modem was turned
that's
off.
That's it. I think everything is shut off now. I think. This is so difficult. This is to remember
the
everything.
The internet is hard.
It is
yeah.
so.
Does Carla have a hard offline where she just has to go to network? Because I know your network up there isn't that great. So her propensity for staying on Wi-Fi is probably stronger.
Propensity. Look at this one.
This is sucking so bad today. You guys just froze.
You just went to beautiful high definition.
Yeah,
you're now frozen to me. Can
oh,
you hear me
man.
Okay?
Yeah,
you sound fantastic.
Yeah. You look great.
No, you're frozen.
You look
you're
great on camera.
Let it go. Let it go.
I knew this was going to happen. I was bragging about this.
You got happy.
Right. Yeah.
It's what happened. Hey, when you get a chance, make sure you order some Nest Nest smoke detectors. They're all on Wi-Fi. Just do that.
That'd be good. Hey, all baby monitor.
Yeah,
blue
do that.
Blue.
All right, we'll
all
keep
Bluetooth
doing the show, but I'm so
That'd
pissed
awesome.
Right now. I am so pissed off right now.
You know what? Get a smart fridge too.
A smart fridge?
Yes, that beams.
And a smart microwave.
I'm reconnecting with you boys.
Wireless grocery stores. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hang up on you, Mike, and I'm going to call back.
Wireless grocery store.
I'm still rebooting my camera, so give me a second.
No, take your time.
So his Wi-Fi would support an entire grocery store?
Yeah. You download your food.
You know, technology is a wonderful thing, and it allows this fantastic show to come to you from anywhere in the world.
Yes,
it is phenomenal.
But at the same time, it does get scary for me because up here, you're dealing with an issue of certain speeds that are, and I'm calling
speed.
You by the way. You want to call me or do you want me to call you?
Whatever you feel more comfortable with.
I'll call you right now. We'll see what happens. But the bottom line is that I am terrified constantly because of last year's experience about losing connections. That's what I worry about.
Is there
so
any
there
possibility,
are.
Mike, that you are a victim of internet squatters?
Oh, yes.
People
oh.
are pulling you, your signal from the yard or something?
Do you have a password on your Wi-Fi?
Yeah,
okay,
an elaborate
sure.
one.
Okay,
an
good,
elaborate
good,
one.
Good.
Does it have,
quite,
an, does it have
elaborate,
a symbol
really?
in it?
It's not password.
What's that?
Does it have a symbol in it?
Why don't I tell everybody what it has in it, Rob? Maybe that'll work out real. Maybe we can do that. Is that what we should do?
Mm-hmm. I was just curious.
You know what never has a problem?
Yes.
You know what never has a problem? Our audio signal. Our delightful Skype that has a fantastic time. That's that never has an issue. You know what I mean?
Well, video, I think, by default, takes up a lot more bandwidth.
Yes. You guys look lovely now, by the way.
You do too.
So audio will travel much easier than
which
than
is
video.
Weird because light travels faster than sound.
Oh, you know what?
That's the Doppler
Damn
effect.
I love learning new things.
You have a propensity for that.
Yes, I do. Mike, you're
I
back.
I couldn't
you're
say
you're back,
no.
Baby. You're back.
When I had television installed,
yes.
I couldn't say no this time to do you want an internet connection? And maybe I should have just said no. And then Oscar says, well, you should get another, you should get a dedicated one for the show. And now you've frozen again, and I'm just completely.
No, you look,
now,
you
now
look
we're
fantastic.
Back to Maine. Now we're back to Maine from last year. Now we are officially back to Skyping from up here from last year. You guys are seeing me?
Yeah,
waving my hand
great.
And everything?
You look like sex.
So that's not coming back to me. That's that's very interesting.
It's strange.
You know? It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, but you know what, Mike? The most important part is we fixed the problem on our end. Right? I mean, he can see us still.
Yeah.
You can see us. That's you can. No, you can't see us?
He can see us. We're just holding still.
Oh, okay. We've frozen for him.
Do you suppose, is there a setting?
We're going to shut down and start from scratch, boys.
Oh, no.
God.
No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not going to do
that.
Hey,
how about this?
I don't
ask
even know
Carla,
what the running time of the show
is. Can you ask Carla just to come in and see if she understands the power of the internet as well, as much as you do?
Well, because, no, she does, because yes. Carla has nothing to do with this. I mean, it's just Carla basically does a, you know, I can ask, hey, Carla, because the last thing would be her phone. Her phone ain't going to be why this is happening.
But Mike,
trust me.
Everything on the line is, depending on what it's doing, if it's streaming, if it's playing radio, if it's on iTunes, it's doing everything. On the line could affect your signal. And when it's so fragile or fragile.
But I mean, as far as if it's connected to Wi-Fi, it can affect the signal.
Yes.
If it's not, it's not going to affect the signal.
Yeah, and I get it. But a lot of people, because they don't understand what we do, they say, it's just my phone.
That's
and
all.
They do their thing. And now Mike is gone again.
Mike is gone, but I bet we can hear him.
Mike?
Hi there. How are you?
That's the most important part.
Maybe
I mean, it's easy for me to just hit a button and try to reconnect with
you
fellas.
We've been cursed with... who's
and Rob, you're going to have to give me the time cues because I'm...
no sweat. We're at 20 minutes right now.
That's the bed. I knew it. Yesterday, I was sitting there. I was at a little gathering here in the neighborhood, and I was talking to people, and I was so positive about it. And I just knew by doing that. And now
Rob,
I've got a black screen.
Can you
check
the connection on our camera?
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
I see, you know, we want to make sure that we take care of
every
angle.
Are you seeing me again?
Yeah, we see you perfectly.
See me again I came back, and now I have absolutely nothing.
Tight as Tupperware.
I'm going to and make sure.
No, see, Rob, I don't know whether it is because now I'm beginning to wonder about that.
Well, no,
especially if you guys are seeing me and I'm.
Well, that's what I'm wondering as well. Let me figure this out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to shut Skype down and then call you right back. You can continue with the program, Mike.
All right, very good.
Yes.
So speaking of this this wonderful, wonderful world of technology. I have an issue that I've been dealing with for quite some time, and that is that when I was hacked, I shut down one of my accounts, Rob.
Right.
And I shut down one of my accounts, and previous administrations for this show had linked my Facebook to my Twitter. And
I
so
remember
that
this at one point in the name of convenience, ostensibly to make things more convenient.
Yes.
Everything was linked together.
And by the way, that is the classic example of a lazy shortcut. You know, the bottom line at that time, I did not want to tweet. Period.
Right, I remember.
And then the idea, well, you can link it to Twitter, and everything you put on Facebook will go to your Twitter. Well, you're defeating the whole. It doesn't work that way. Shortcuts don't work. And now the fact is, everything that I put on Facebook goes on Twitter, and I don't like it that way because I don't control it. And so when I put multiple posts out, I can delete them if I do that by accident on Facebook, but I can't do that on Twitter. So I tried to get into Twitter. And I have absolutely no way of knowing, you know, what's coming, what's going, and
Oscar,
it's very, very frustrating.
Can you entertain a question about Twitter
sure,
for me? Because
no
Twitter
problem.
Is a foreign land for me. If he puts something on Facebook and it goes on his Twitter feed,
yes.
If he deletes it from Facebook, it stays on his Twitter feed?
Stays on his Twitter feed.
Not cool.
Not cool.
No.
Yes.
Oh, so that's horrible. So that has to stop.
Yeah, it sucks. So Oscar was kind of Oscar has a way of making me feel like I'm a total dumbass, and he did that for me the other day. And
I was patient. A good hour of my life was spent being patient.
And we didn't solve anything.
Truly
and
a
we
good
didn't,
hour.
We didn't solve. It was more like 3 hours for me. I was doing it all afternoon.
Well, this is
very,
just
very
to give you perspective on Mike and his world, right?
Right.
You both know, and Mike, you can admit you're the worst with passwords. The worst.
I'm terrible with passwords.
Yes, the worst.
I'm terrible.
Yeah,
right?
I hate
true.
Passwords.
Yeah.
I hate everything about passwords.
Yes.
I truly do. I think passwords
reason,
are...
The reason he hates passwords is because he has such a high opinion of people that he doesn't think passwords should be necessary. He would love... You would prefer to trust the world.
Why all this
than
private...
I would. ...encrypt your information.
Yeah. I would. I just... It sucks. It sucks so totally. It really... There we are again. Oh, God. Damn, this is killing me.
Now, you
this
look what, great on our end.
Yeah,
and
yeah, but I have little tells, you see.
Okay.
I have little tells. Like when my picture goes blip,
gotcha.
Like that, that's when I have my little tell. And sometimes it resolves itself. Sometimes it doesn't. Most often it doesn't. So we'll, I apologize to our listeners because this completely takes me out. This is my greatest fear being realized right here. And you're absolutely right. I'm ripping everything else out of this house. I mean, with my bare hands, I'm not watching television here anymore. It's not going to happen. I am tearing it out. The dedicated line you talked about, Oscar,
yes, yes.
Done. There will be two in this week.
I swear to God, there will be two in this
week.
And you
see, that's the beauty of this, is there is a solution.
There is a solution. There is a absolutely. Solution.
Now, watch us do that. We'll get all that. I'll spend all that money. And then bingo, bango, it doesn't
solve the
problem.
It might not work. It's not 100%.
We'll stop payment on the check then.
Then you're like, you know what? We don't need two lines. No, we just need to live Amish, except for this one connection.
I don't think that I could be. I don't think that I would be the first person to have two internet connections in a house.
No.
You'd be the first person that couldn't figure out how to unplug everything that was connected to the internet and had to get a second connection to the house. I would imagine that.
But
would
the
be
thing
the case.
Is, everything has been disconnected. Now,
it has. Now it has. Yes.
No, but it was before we had some issues there a moment ago. Now we're right now. Knock on wood, we're doing well. What is our running time on the show?
You know
Mr.
what?
Speedy?
Now would be a perfect time to take a break because we're right at 25
I'll
minutes.
I'll walk you through the trials and tribulations of recovering a password.
Oh, I'm sure it was a piece of cake.
So, Rob, give me a number. If I was to start the running time for the show right now, what
25 minutes
mean?
At the mark, Mark.
And that means, like, what would be my running time by the time?
What
I was looking for. I'm not counting down. I'm counting up. Jesus Christ, it's not going 25. I'm starting now, you see?
Okay.
So you understand the number I'm looking for right now? Do you get it? Do you know? I'm looking for the number.
How many minutes
number
are left
I have
in the show?
Thank you. Thank you very much. So,
okay, 54 minutes.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Omaricast is back and bigger than ever. A new studio brings us better sound, stereophonic quality, Technicolor, and of course, more Mermelstein. More special effects, a whole lot more fun, more connectivity so that we can bring you back into the show. Omaricast is here for you to keep you in touch with more. Sponsored by Feed Your Cats Right. Try Mother Hubbard's Fruit Friskas.
New episode up today.
You know, he doesn't seem like a pothead, but I think he's probably smoking a big fatty before he does those.
Oh, I think he's mostly a drinker, but you know, don't a lot of people smoke pot up there? Vermont,
oh, yeah. Well, I think that they grow a lot up there.
Sure.
Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by HomeLight. We've been telling you for the last couple of weeks about HomeLight, where they help you buy and sell your house. It's probably one of the biggest decisions you're ever going to make in your lifetime. You need to do it armed with the best realtor to help you out. That's why you need HomeLight. HomeLight is the best new way to find your perfect real estate agent. Their technology analyzes home sales data and client reviews, and what they do is they find the best agent for you based on actual past performance. This is an area I've talked about it a lot. So many times it's, hey, I know Phil. He's a good guy. He lives down the street. He sold Ronnie's house. Yeah, they did a nice job. Now this
Phil
is
and
all,
Ronnie, Mike.
This is all statistics. Phil and Rob. Phil and Ronnie show. Whether you are buying or selling, you need HomeLight. HomeLight was founded by Stanford grads, backed by Google. Their agents are all top 5% producers, and they're proven to sell faster and for up to a 9% higher selling price. They're experts in marketing and prepping your home for sale. Plus, they are honest, professional, and reliable. HomeLight has already helped thousands of folks in D.C. and all over the USA, and they've helped them buy and sell their homes. Visit HomeLight.com today. That's HomeLight.com. Click on the microphone in the right-hand corner and enter the promo code TMOS to contact your perfect agent through the HomeLight website. I want to have this relationship for a good long time with HomeLight because
product.
I love them. 844-321-AGENT. That number again is 844-321-AGENT. HomeLight.com, the best way to find a real estate agent. And now you're looking so nice and clear.
Yeah,
nice.
Sort of.
Oh. Don't get happy.
How are you, boys?
Don't get
you,
happy.
Do you have a fabulous weekend?
Very
phenomenal
nice.
Phenomenal weekend.
The kids needed so many rides. It
really?
Was like being an Uber.
Oh,
it
nice.
Was up, back and forth.
When Rob says that, it's not like he's carpooling. Rob actually takes them to an amusement park. So when he says the kids need a lot of rides, Rob actually has to go down to an amusement park, get on the roundup or whatever the hell the ride
du jour
is.
Yeah.
Right, the octopus.
Are you in a good place where when you drop them off, they just run out of the car? You don't have to see them get in the house?
Let's see. If it is...
Or like into the mall? Well,
no, not to the mall. You know what? A lot of the traveling was to the pool because the pool is open. And even
can't
though
they walk there?
They could.
Oh.
It was 79 degrees, so I think they were freezing their ass off. But the fact that the pool is there, they
nice.
Felt they needed to go. Julia went to the pool with a guy who is not her boyfriend, as she tells us every time.
It doesn't feel like after Memorial Day, does it?
No.
It doesn't really feel that way. It's like...
Well, you're up north.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also with the schedule I've had, getting everything ready, I don't feel the sense of post Memorial Day that I used to.
I feel like it's full summer here for some reason.
Maybe it is the climate. Maybe it's the climate that I have.
And we had
a
tremendously cool but very pleasant weekend. It was a pleasant surprise.
I went to a pool party yesterday, and there was I want to say at least 30 kids in that pool. I was like, what's
I went
going
to a great
here?
Little social event yesterday with some friends of my sister, and it really was I immediately sensed the difference between people up here and people down in Florida.
In what way?
About a 30-year age difference. No,
things keep better in the cold. That's why
there really
freezers.
Wasn't. There's a coolness. There's a hipness.
Yeah,
For people that live here year round, it's kind of an interesting vibe you get. And
is it because the people that go to Florida, none of them are from Florida?
So they've already
lived the rat race, and they're going there and trying to decompress.
You become a total student of human nature when you're bopping around. I feel somewhat nomadic now that I don't have anchors in any one place, whether it be D.C., Florida, up here in Maine. So I'm kind of all over the place now with this wonderful technology we were raving about a moment ago.
Sure.
He's a nomad
with no Wi-Fi.
I analyze. I actually sit there and I analyze people, and I just said to my wife last night, I said, those, and they were old, young, in between. I mean, in their 20s all the way up to their 70s, some of these people. And it was just cool people. They're kind of cool, kind of laid back. There's a laid back vibe up here. Because I said to this one guy, I said, man, you had a hell of a winter. He said, yeah, but it was beautiful. I'm like, okay. I said, well, man, but I mean, that's got to, everybody's been complaining. He said, they complain, but you just have to, you have to enjoy it. You have to embrace it.
Do you think
and he was selling me on it too. He was like going, it's like, wow, man. And then and he was talking about he worked in it too. This is a guy that works outside.
Well, when he owns,
so this guy
he owns
cool.
all the plows.
That's right.
Yeah, he's probably making bank. Yeah. He's probably. I didn't even have. I
that
you know another
again
thing
is Mr.
Here's,
Plow.
Here's another thing that's cool about here. Never asked what he did.
Yeah,
it's not done up here. It's really not done that much.
And whereas
up here,
in the District of Columbia, you ask someone what they do before you ask how they are.
That's exactly. Just the way it is. It's kind of the vibe, but it was cool. And
when
you talk got a
about
chance
them
to see my cousin,
cool.
one of my cousins over the weekend, it was fabulous.
Which one?
It was great. Billy, my cousin Billy.
Okay.
Was up here.
Have we met Billy?
Yeah, we have.
Cool. Very cool. Oh, I remember him. Yeah,
Billy.
Yeah.
And what do you think the greatest experience for an Irishman next to the birth of his son is? It's finding a new bar.
Oh,
that
wow.
is,
and
finding a new bar that's close by. And we rolled in there at the closing time. Things button up early around here, but it was really, really fine. And I think I
was it an Irish type bar, sports type bar? What
no,
kind of bar?
No, it was
a Maine type bar.
It was kind of.
What does beer cost up there in Maine?
You know
25 cents.
I wasn't drinking beer.
Oh, well, what does liquor cost? A liquor drink.
Liquor is about the same, if not maybe sometimes a little more.
Whoa.
Here's the thing about Maine. You're not going to come up here. People think, especially from the big city, you come up here, everything's going to be cheap. No, quite the opposite. People that are doing this to make a living have to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they have to make a living. So, your food is going to be not bargain basement. Maybe it used to.
Lobsters
maybe
are
there
cheaper.
Was a day. In certain places they
okay.
are. In
this
certain
is the first time in all our your trips to Maine and since we've been working together that you ever mentioned that there was a bar up there.
Yeah.
Well,
you found a restaurant last summer, I remember, that was owned by a couple.
That's the thing. We walked in, and I was expecting a restaurant. I walked in, and it was one of those restaurants that has a really cool bar in the front of it where
throwback.
A lot of people, single people, were sitting there having having a little late dinner, and it was just
cool.
Just very cool. And on the left side of this joint, for when everybody gets up here, there's a really nice hangout area where it's almost like somebody's patio, and it just looked really, really
nice.
Cool. So I was very excited.
Is that
about
another?
That. It was a great weekend. I had a very, very good weekend. I'm not going to lie.
Do you think that's another great side effect of people just being cooler up there?
I don't know. It's just fun. I'm just I'm vibing on it 100%.
How's your sister?
I haven't spoken to her. Haven't spoken to her at all.
Oh.
No. And
is she there?
No, she's not up here.
She's in Boston.
She's weird.
She'll be
usually
up.
She's up there by now.
She'll be up there later on. So it's just.
It'll
cool.
seem like summer when she gets there, Mike.
What are you talking about?
You should ask Kathy. Just off, not even trying to be rude about it. Just to know when she usually comes up for the summers. You should ask.
Oscar has. Oscar has tapped into my greatest fear. Oscar has tapped into my total fear, where I just don't know. None of them are coming up. None of them are going to come up. That's it. No, it's kind
I'm
of.
I'm just wondering, Kath, you know, in the years when I didn't come up here, when does your summer start? When's the last time you missed a Memorial Day, Kathy? How long has it been?
When will you be here? I don't know. I'm just kind of figuring out the lay of the land. Just try to
Kathy,
get
I couldn't help but notice that in your house there's a for sale sign. I don't know. Is that common? Is that a mistake? Because you know I'm up here and.
So how is your daughter, your lovely daughter Julia? Did everything go well with the carpooling this weekend?
Yeah, back and forth. And here's the thing: is that there was when she got to the pool just before opening on Saturday, it was her and a friend of hers and the lifeguard. Oh. There was only three people at the pool, and they still made them do break at 10 minutes to the. There were no grown-ups.
So is that the life stream? Is lazy. That the lifeguard's call?
Yeah, when you know it goes like tweet, hey, break.
He technically has to do that for legal reasons.
Legal reasons,
but he
but
can
it's
get
a
away
lady.
Not doing it.
It's a lady, and last year we had
she from Poland or like Slovenia,
I think Bulgaria. This year we had American lifeguards last year.
What is has have we? I know we've discussed it on the show before, but what is the deal?
It's a
what
work is visa. The, it's super easy to get over here and learn how to be a lifeguard, get certified within like 7 days, and then they can work all summer.
Mike, also, if you want to host Americast, you also have to be certified. But the,
that's all it is.
We had ambivalent Americans last year, and I like if you want to know how ambivalent our lifeguards were last year, they used to get into the high lifeguard chair with shoes with laces. They had no intention of ever getting in the water. They just didn't care. But this year we are back to having Eastern European lifeguards.
Everyone get out. This is adult swim time. Swim over to wall. You, boy, I blow whistle two times. You swim to stairs and get out to let adults get in. Okay? Okay, Mr. Fecal Matter coming out of shorts in pool.
There is now 10-minute time where you no longer have opportunity to attempt to sink round ball through basket.
Oscar,
yes.
Oscar, I understand it's easy to get the certification. What I don't get is the pipeline. It must be known
and it's consistent and pool to pool.
Cheap labor. You want to pay an American you want to pay an American teenager to do that? Now you got to pay him probably, I would say, $14-$15, right?
Jesus
and
Christ.
They'll do the job for six kopecks.
I imagine they pay. It's cheaper if you get them over here and you can pay them less an hour.
So when they take a break and there's no one in the pool, the lifeguard actually just came over to talk to Julia and her buddy, and she was not great at English, and Julia said the hardest thing to explain to her is that the lifeguard was thinking of bleaching her hair, and she couldn't come up with the word. And Julia, and it's cute because she's 14 now, using her broken sort of fake accent. She said, and the lifeguard kept saying, "What is it called when you put chemicals on head to make lightened hair?" Because she just couldn't come up with the word.
I think I'll go to local drugstore and buy product known as Sun In. Put in regular hair and let rays of sun bleach it, or I use chemicals. Yes.
And the other thing, the moment, and this was a weird moment with Julia. She will occasionally help me load and unload the jukebox, which is fun for me, and it gets her a chance to, you know, because when she dies, she gets the jukebox. Yeah. When I die, she gets the jukebox. Robert gets the records. That way they have to stay in touch. So she's leaning on the jukebox and looking at all the title strips, and she says, "Do you have any Tom Jones in the jukebox?" And I went,
Julia said this?
Yeah, and I said, "What?" She says, "Tom Jones has a song called It's Not Unusual. Is that in the jukebox?" I
said, How did she know that? Said, why was she talking about that?
How do you know that song? She says, "I don't know, but it's funny, right?" I said, "Yeah, it's a very, very funny song." And she says, I have it on my mind somehow. And the only thing I could come up with is maybe she saw it on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, because Carlton would dance to It's Not Unusual.
So you know, it's the definitive Tom Jones song. Yeah, it's a smash hit.
And I was looking around, and I've got 45s everywhere, and I just couldn't find it to put in. So I went to Amazon, and I was able to find, you know, you can still buy 45s on Amazon.
Did not know that.
$2.99. It'll be here on Thursday, and I'll put that in the jukebox for her. And so I said,
Do you have it in your jukebox right now?
In my iPad. Yeah, I'm getting to it right now. And okay. So I said to her, that's a very entertaining song. I'm glad you know it. But my question is, have you ever seen Tom Jones sing? And she said, I don't even know what Tom Jones looked like. And so I went over to my DVD shelf, and I have a DVD of the old show, This Is Tom Jones.
Of course he does.
And I put on...
I was going to ask you, this is a moment where I want to be you, and I want to say, well, yeah, you couldn't just go to YouTube and pop in Tom Jones dancing. You had to go to your DVD shelf.
Because
and,
I know...
And move your old wooden telephone out of the way and grab that at the same time. I feel like you, Oscar.
So I grab, and it's episode one of season one, because I knew it would be there.
Of course.
And, you know, it goes on, it says, ABC Television presents This Is Tom Jones. And then music begins.
There he is.
Yeah. And he comes out in a very, very tight tuxedo with a very, very big bow tie. And he's doing all the arm motions and the pelvic thrusting.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
I love that song.
And I look at Julia, and it's like the scene in The Producers when they do Springtime for Hitler, and everyone in the audience is got their hands on their face and their mouths are open. It's like she can't. She's never never seen Tom Jones sing. She's never seen anyone sing like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's looking at it in utter disbelief. And I say, "You think that's good?" I go to the second musical number, which is his song "Help Yourself."
And so help all his smash hits.
Yeah, all his hits, and it is a sequence of women in go-go dresses, accompanied by men in turtlenecks that have TJ on them, and they're pulling levers. And he is singing Help Yourself. And I said, Julia, I'm just curious, seeing Tom Jones in action, does that enhance your thoughts of him? She said, it is truly not what I expected. So I look forward to getting that in the jukebox this Thursday, and we will put on our Facebook page those two video clips I discussed, because all children should know Tom Jones, because if you love him, you'll help him.
Amen. I agree. We'll take a break. When we come back, more fun and more thrills. You are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
So I think that I'm strange. Kids are going to ground.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This program is brought to you by Touch of Modern. You know that guy that's got everything, and he's got a perfect look, and he's just Johnny Perfecto, and he's got cool stuff, and you wonder how he gets it. How does he consistently find unique, eye-catching items? Well, it's easy. He uses touchofmodern.com. Want to have a fun afternoon? Go to this website.
Oh, yeah.
You will not be disappointed. You will have a blast. Touchofmodern.com. Go there right now. Millions of people have already made it their source for daily discovery of fascinating one-of-a-kind products at prices you will not believe. They've got great deals here. We all love the site. Always cool, always changing. We are constantly drawn back to the site to see what's new. Touch of Modern scours the globe for unique design-focused products to forge your style. This is unique stuff. Stuff that hasn't come down the pike before. We really, really love it. Jaw-dropping tech gadgets, sleek phone cases, accessories, new and vintage watches, sexy home decor, men's fashion and accessories that are sure to get you noticed. Touch of Modern has new sales launching every day. It's the one website that elevates your lifestyle with a single click. Right now, our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today, because tomorrow it'll be different. They update it all the time. That's how life rolls in the fast lane, baby.
Do it, baby.
Touchofmodern.com. Check them out. You will be glad you did. Well, a wonderful weekend for all of us. Sounds like we had some fun, but we have to touch on the big story. It was truly special to watch some history
fun
over the weekend with American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown.
And
very,
very
cool.
I seldom throw any credit to NBC and Tom Hammond's coverage of the races, Mike, but it was almost like the telethon or Ben-Hur on Easter. Every time you looked at the TV, anytime on Saturday, there was coverage of the race, because I think they had 4.5 hours of pregame for it.
Right,
and
exactly.
It was really, it was great coverage, because I think they had a hunch that history was about to be made, and I was very pleased that they were prepared for
it. And Mike, maybe you could shed some light on this. I don't know enough about horse racing, but there have been horses in the past that have won, two of the three
jewels
of the Triple Crown. and they would leave. They would actually, after winning the second, they wouldn't run the third.
It happens because, occasionally. I think there have been a couple of instances where that has happened in horse racing history, and it's usually injury related. That's usually the why it happens.
And also, it's because the Belmont is a very different race. It's a much longer race. And if they feel that the horse doesn't have a chance and at that length and the risk of doing it. Because you know what? Two jewels of the Triple Crown. That horse is going to make a very nice living. And why risk it?
So well, I could talk about the family. I could talk about the jockey. I could talk about the trainer with the sunglasses. Or I could talk about me. Because it always gets back
to me.
Can
I vote? Yeah. I'd like to hear about you.
You.
Well, you know, in certain circles, close friends of mine know that I'm somewhat of a degenerate gambler. Where the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby are wide open. Last year, Cappy had, was it California Chrome?
Yep.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Nice horse. Nice pull.
And Cappy got me all ramped up about that horse, and we had fun commiserating on it, and I laid down a little wager. This time around, I was late to the party, but I think I said to Carla after the Preakness, I said, well, we'll have to put down a bet on American Pharoah because, you know, it's a Triple Crown. You can say you bet the Triple Crown.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
But then as it got closer, the desire to be a part of history was trumped, in my opinion, by my desire to not put down a stupid wager, which it would have been, because 3-5 odds paid dick.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, but what you said, what you kind of, the sometimes the answer is in the question. You said it wasn't really about winning the money, it was having
I thought I felt that way until it got closer, and then as
because you are a degenerate gambler, man.
Yes. And then I went on a wonderful website. I think it was Forbes.com, where there was a wonderful article on how to take how to bet the Belmont. And they went into a great deal of detail on how you do a win play show. You do this. You put this. You box an exacta with, and you can bet on this particular horse, but bet it in such a way that there might be a payoff involved.
You were hoping
not
for
that many horses in the Belmont.
No, I think was it an 8-horse field? Nine,
seven, eight or eight horses in the entire field. You
and
know?
It's you
very
could,
cool.
If a good odds horse came in, a higher odds horse came in second, the exacta would be the way to go. And you can box it. A $2 bet, you know, can go for $4.
Now explain what boxing is, because Rob, you get ramped up and then you say it really quickly. This is when you explain poker. You have to slow down and realize there are a lot of people that don't understand.
I think California Chrome was number four horse. Okay, let's say you wanted to pick California Chrome to come in first and the number five
American
horse.
American Pharoah or California Chrome?
Forgive me.
It's okay.
American Pharoah to come in first, which everyone was calling, and the number five horse to come in second.
Okay.
So you would go and say, I want to bet a 4-5 exacta.
Okay.
Meaning that the exact finish of the race will be horse number four.
So first and second, I match.
But and that's the minimum bet for that is $2.
Yes.
But you can box it for $4, meaning that you win if it comes in 4-5 or 5-4.
Oh, so you almost buy insurance.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so that's the way you would do that bet. And
nice.
So you can do a whole string of bets like that, and at $4 a bet, if you have
whose brain is hurting right now?
If you have a big enough payoff, you can actually win money.
Pretty
so
cool.
There you go.
Mike, what did you end up doing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't bet anything. Did you lay a bet down on it, Rob?
No, I don't. We're not convenient to any off-track betting, and I don't run in circles.
You can
with
bet
bookies.
Online. You can lay a bet down online.
I did not make any.
If you
bets.
Were gonna bet, what would you have bet? I can run the numbers here.
If I was gonna bet, I would have bet a straight win bet for American Pharoah because here's the weird thing. I put my traditional sports zang up on Facebook.
I saw that. I liked that
after American Pharoah won and. What didn't surprise me, but it surprised the way I reacted, was the emotional nature of it. And I think that people react emotionally when they feel like they're seeing something that will be the last time they will see it in
historical
their
import. It really had
and because I got that vibe. I was just like, you know, you're marking time. If anybody wants to know, if anybody was wondering about why they may have gotten emotional watching this, I think that's what it is. You're marking a moment in time, and
exactly.
You're aware of it. And that doesn't happen very often. It happens at high school graduations, weddings. It happens. So you're experiencing the same type of thing, only it's a mass experience where so many people are dealing with it. That's why people went so badass at this particular moment, because the difficulty of winning this trophy, the Triple Crown, is so significant. That's why it happened, 38 years?
It's been 37, I think.
37 years?
Can I take a moment to play the end of the race? Because
yes.
It was a great call.
Great
and
call.
And it truly was emotional. This is from the NBC coverage right here.
They're off in the Belmont Stakes. American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second. And they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory. As they come into the final furlong, Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
That's flawless, by the way.
That.
Junior announcers out there, that is flawless. That was perfection. That guy was up for the game and didn't let us down. You know, I love that. I get chills just hearing the call of the race. It's fantastic.
And after watching the race live and the replay and another time again, it was the stuff that motion pictures are made of, is that everyone called it, and it was just set up to, oh, my God, the only thing that can happen now is we can be disappointed.
Yeah.
And then right out of the gate, Pharoah leading the entire race, and there was going into that final stretch about 3/4 of a second, what it looked like Frosted might make a move, and then Pharoah up by 2 lengths, then 3,
so
4,
cool.
5, 6, and the horse didn't even look tired. What an amazing, amazing animal.
You know, it's funny, great sports weekends kind of come in packs. I will tell you something that I have not had the ability to really get my son, the spider monkey, to sit down and sit still and watch baseball, which is something I plan to grow up sharing with him. And it's the 8th inning of the Boston Red Sox game, and there are no outs, and it's 4-1 when I turned it on. I didn't realize that someone had hit a solo shot. It was actually 4-0 Oakland.
Oh, okay.
And a guy had just recently hit a home run to open up the game. There are no outs. I choose to watch this game with my son. I sit him down, and I give him a little bowl of goldfish. So he's completely occupied.
The crackers?
And we start. Rob, the fish. I'm feeding him fish. That's exactly what I'm doing.
I didn't know he was on Atkins. I didn't know.
So, strictly protein for my lad. And I've got him on the couch, and it's 4-1, and we start watching, and the Red Sox come back and win the game 7-4. And it was so much fun. I try to convey to him the moment he's just putting his hands together because he sees people cheering and yelling and stuff like that. And it was very, very cool.
It was cool to
share that with him. And he is. I am realizing now the tremendous difference between baby girls and baby boys. He is literally into everything.
Mm-hmm.
He is, you know, he's up for about 4 major head injuries a day.
Well, I've said this, Mike. I've said this ever since Robert was little, and I think it's true. If we had had Robert first,
yes,
he would have been an only child because we would not have wanted to go through it again. Bless him. I love him more than anything in the world, but he's such a hassle. And Julia is like, when she was little, we could leave her in the middle of a room and she'd stay there. She'd just stay there. She wouldn't
give her like something to occupy herself with
this
him.
This is a stuffed panda bear. I'll see you in 2:30. And that's
exactly.
It.
And the 22-month-old boy's brain processes like this, okay? Maybe I should use the little boy's voice. Let me see if I
A trip inside the mind of a 22-year-old boy.
I'd love to hear this.
Yeah, 22-month-old boy. 22-year-old is different.
I heard Mike wrangling on Friday when we were on the phone.
Oh, you
Michael,
got to
no.
hear.
Michael, no.
You got
I got to call you back.
Parenting in action?
Like,
I'll do it with a little voice. I'm not going to do it. So it's
okay.
Is that dangerous? Is that really dangerous? Is that that's a knife.
Oh, no. I want to touch the blade.
Oh. I mean, it's just like he reaches for things that are everything that I don't want him to touch. We get a, I think is the company called Step 2. That's the baby furniture people. Step 2 or
that
something like
that. That sounds right. I think
it's
that
like
might
Step
predate
something.
Me. Okay.
You know, it's like Fisher Price or something. Okay. And you know, it's this thing made out of plastic. Yeah. It's one of the cheapest things ever made. Cheap, and also they're not going to lose any money on labor because you have to put every goddamn screw into this thing that's required.
Oh,
and
it's furniture. Putting, I always buy furniture, Mike, that comes in a flat box.
Yeah, that's it. Welcome to my world.
Exactly.
And so I'm putting this together, and every he touches and grabs everything that is, if he is within 2 feet of any project I'm doing, his hands will be on the one thing that I don't need him to touch, and it goes.
How do they
on.
Know? How do they know? But they do,
right?
They
and the reason in. I did 4.25 miles this weekend, and we put him in the stroller, and you know, right now he's at the age where. Strolling him about every half mile, it's just like, you know, like a maniac in a straitjacket. But I'm realizing
we're going
I have
for a
to,
walk, Clarice.
You know, you can say look better. You can say get yourself in better shape. I have to do this. I now realize I do not have a choice because Carla cannot be the only one that's going to go on a dead sprint to get this youngster as he's running through for the tree line. You know,
yes.
It's just like
poison ivy. Is that poison ivy? Go!
is that a brush fire? Let's go see.
Okay, what's that over there? Okay, that looks like a very busy road. There I go. Yes, sir.
I'm like, Michael. And so we run him down, and it's just, I realize now that as much as I am an advocate for the elderly parent, I must tell you that the elderly parent is challenged going into this phase. He is into everything, and I am I'll be honest with you, I was up at 5:45 this morning and I think the first words out of my mouth was, you go downstairs and get him this time.
Is he shifting at all?
Please go downstairs and get him. I don't want to do it. I gave her Sunday morning off where I went down and got him and hung out with for two hours. Carla gets up. He gets up at 5:45, and I don't want to exaggerate. It's an hour and 15 minutes. She comes downstairs about 7 o'clock and looks at me and knows on my face that I am already utterly tapped for the entire day, that I am done, that the energy in the very first hour and 15 minutes of my day from 5:45 till 7 a.m. has been so total with this spider monkey because, you know, he hits the ground running. He's up. He's ready to go. And I'm just looking at Carla. She says, good. And she comes down, you know, with her extra hour. So I say, good morning. And I'm like, good morning. He's been a handful, darling. And I love it. It's joyous. But I am still managing myself to figure out how to deal with it.
Is he climbing on you yet?
Yeah.
Like,
he climbs on me. Oh, and he'll do. Cool. Rob goes back with me long enough to remember the walk on daddy's back game.
Climb on daddy game, yeah.
That I played with my daughters. And that was like that was 45 minutes where I could just lie and sleep on the floor and they'd walk on my back and giggle and think it was the funniest thing in the world. I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think he's going to. I think if I lie on my stomach and I play the walk on daddy's back game, my son's going to walk over, tug on my ear, and go, get up. Get up, daddy. Get up. Get up, daddy. Up. Or she says now, up, up, up. And I'm coming and pull my hand. And I'm like, daddy doesn't want to get up. Daddy likes being sedentary. Daddy didn't get a body like this by getting up all the time.
Michael, today we're going to learn a new word. It's called down. Down.
Down.
Down. Down.
But the moment, and this is me being a fat ass. This is the moment I truly cherish. Sitting there watching my beloved Red Sox. You know, I'm stealing a goldfish or two as well.
Oh, look,
O'Mara doesn't like that, but you know, I sit there and just watching him crunch and watch the game, and he's riveted, and he's like, and he got frustrated whenever the game would go off. So they'd go to commercial break, and when they went to the commercial break, he like, no. I said, it's coming back. Then they'd show a promo for another game, and he goes, oh, yeah, baseball. And another commercial would come on. He said, no. And he's getting frustrated when there's not the athletic
just
competition.
Like daddy.
Yeah.
And,
I would say it would be next season that he'd be okay with the commercials, but he'd get frustrated with coaching. That's when he's like,
That is it. We're going to take a little break. We will come back with news. You may not need. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa.
Hi, I'm Paul Bloom, and I'm Benjamin Bloom, and we're the Bloom Brothers. We were both ecstatic when our cousin Matt started working on the Mike O'Mara show. And when he called to tell us about the TMOS bonus package, his excitement was infectious. To feel as giddy as we do, just go to MikeOMaraShow.com and go to the Get the Bonus Show menu. You will pay less than you do for a couple of cartons of your favorite cigarettes. A small price to pay for never-ending laughter. Not only can you save 25% by subscribing to the annual package, but you also get access to the entire bonus show anthology. And that makes me so excited that I just can't hide it. Me too, Benjamin. So take it from us, the Bloom Brothers. Subscribe to the TMOS bonus package now. And be as excited as we are.
Jesus. Swear to God, am I going to get that moment of my life back? Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. News you may not need, brought to you by Audible.com. We want to say thank you to Audible.com for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. We are excited to see that they're fans of our show. We love Audible. You're going to love it, too. It's the leading provider of audiobooks with over 150,000 downloadable titles of all types. Speaking of all types, not only fiction, nonfiction, periodicals. How about textbooks, Mr. Oscar Santana?
Yes, Audible.com saved me a ton of money and time with some of the textbooks I needed for my MBA course. The Lean Startup, which is a great book, whether you're getting your MBA or not, it teaches you about what it means to actually build a business the right way and to do it on a shoestring budget.
I can't imagine, Mike, do you remember having to haul those huge books back from the college bookstore and now it's all on his phone?
It's really changing everything and fantastic, really the best in the business. Just for TMOS listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook so you can try out the service. And, you know, it can be any audiobook you want. They've got them all there. To download your audiobook for free, or another one of your choice, just go to audiblepodcast.com/TMOS. That's audiblepodcast.com/TMOS, and you'll love it. Thank you, Audible. We're very, very happy to have them as part of the Mike O'Mara Show family.
News!
Hi, everybody.
Hello,
we were talking about it on Saturday. American Pharoah won the Belmont Stakes to secure the first Triple Crown since 78. The horse led the whole way and won by 5.5 lengths. Frosted finished second with Keen Ice third. American Pharoah became just the 12th horse to win all three races, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, and the first since Affirmed 37 years ago, as Rob was mentioning. Since 1978, 13 other horses had won the first two races but weren't able to finish off the Triple Crown. And as you may have heard, American Pharoah's name is misspelled. I had not heard that. I didn't watch enough of the coverage to know that. It's a P-H-A-R-O-A-H. Instead of P-H-A-R-A-O-H. A woman from Missouri named the horse in an online contest, and the mistake wasn't noticed until the name was already official.
How do you spell that?
Pharaoh.
Name it after Egypt.
Pharaoh. No. I don't know. So the jockey. Yes, go ahead.
I was thinking this is the first Triple Crown in Oscar's life.
Yes.
And the first one that I was aware of because I was just a kid.
It's the fourth in mine. No.
Be nice, Mike.
You were here for Secretariat, right?
I was here for Secretariat. Yeah. I remember Secretariat.
Did you see it live?
I don't remember. I really don't remember. It's you know, I should, but I don't. I'll remember this one, but I didn't remember the Secretariat. I think it was 37
something really
years
cool
ago.
That he talked to me about before he passed. Big Daddy went to Pimlico or whatever the equivalent of the Baltimore track was in that day. Big Daddy saw Seabiscuit run.
Whoa.
How cool
Seabiscuit
that?
By a nose.
Pretty cool.
The jockey who everybody loves this guy because he just was so joyous, Victor Espinoza. Mm-hmm. He's made it a tradition to donate a portion of his winnings to City of Hope, a cancer research and treatment center, and this time he says he's donating his entire check. He's such a nice guy,
he's
and
so
I hope
cool.
It's true. They don't know how much that is yet.
Well,
the charity hasn't confirmed it yet. He did grow up on a goat farm outside of Mexico City.
Mike, you know who didn't have the winner this time was Gary Sherman.
Gary Sherman, yes. Good stuff, everybody. Was it Gary Sherman, or was it somebody else?
I think it was Gary Sherman that we determined was the...
Gary Sherman, are you sure it was Gary Sherman?
Let me double check, but that's what pops to mind for me.
The jockey that had the DJ name.
The DJ name jockey.
Michael, another sports story. Michael Keaton, he's in Atlanta filming a movie called The Founder. On Friday, he goes to see the Braves play the Pittsburgh Pirates because he's a Pennsylvania native and they're his team. Pirates win it 10-8. A Braves fan was heckling Pirates center fielder Andrew McCutchen the entire game, and he knew it. When he hit a double in the eighth, he mocked the fan. This is Andrew McCutchen. And after the game, he even tossed the guy one of his batting gloves, which is kind of a cool way to handle a heckler.
That's cool.
Well, Michael Keaton was sitting near the guy that's heckling Andrew McCutchen. He has his fill of this douche. So after the Pirates win, he goes over and gets in his face a little bit,
whoa,
which was kind of cool.
Wow.
There's nothing I hate at a baseball game is somebody who goes over the top, really, really giving it to a player from the opposite team. I'm fine if it's like, hey, so, you know, one word, two words. If you've got a guy that does it and there are people
just
that get
jabbering
their, they get their
the
jollies at doing it the whole
time.
So Keaton goes over to this guy who's obviously a Braves fan, points at the scoreboard after the game's over, and nobody knows what was said, whether they cussed him out or anything, but he leaves after that. So I thought that was kind of cool. But you know, the thing, the guy that was heckling probably got his rocks off doing, you know, getting Michael Keaton to come over.
Yeah.
So
who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope he was like crazy Batman Michael Keaton and not Mr. Mom Batman.
Or Birdman.
Birdman Batman. Keaton also.
Two R-rated comedies hit theaters this weekend. Only one did decent business. Melissa McCarthy's Spy won the weekend with $30 million, while Entourage came in a disappointing fourth, earning only $10.4 million.
Shocked
me.
I read an article about their... And again, I'm going to go see this movie. Mm-hmm. I just did not have time.
Did you read the douchebag article about Entourage?
No, I read an article that quoted an HBO executive that basically was pointing at our studio executive that said the metrics that said that viewers wanted to see another Entourage like they wanted to see another Sex in the City were wrong.
<You know>? Wow. It didn't do that well. I read a scathing review of Entourage, just how totally morally bankrupt it is, that there is no story inside that has anything redeeming other than the pursuit of money. Avarice. There's absolutely no. I think it's soulless. Is basically
right up
the
Oscar's
gist
alley.
Absolutely. He'll love it.
Mike, this just in. My apologies. Gary Sherman is Paul Schaefer's mythical friend on the Letterman show that works at the Federal Bureau of Miscellaneous Information. The jockey I tried to think of, Gary Stevens.
Gary Stevens. More of a DJ name.
Yeah,
too.
I forgot. I apologize. Yeah.
Gary Stevens. Yeah, riding on the Preakness, Gary Stevens. Entourage actually opened on Wednesday, but still only had a five-day take of $17.8 million, which was below expectations. Another new movie, Insidious Chapter 3, debuted in third with $23 million. Love and Mercy, the movie about the life of the Beach Boys founder Brian Wilson, which they've done a crappy job of promoting. That came in at 11 with $2.2 million. Are you going to go see that?
I'm going to go with my mom and see it this week. I believe they've done such a bad job promoting it. That's like they made a movie for me. Mm-hmm. And I only found out about it after it opened.
Matt. Really? I mean, nobody knew about it. I saw, I think one trailer on TV, and I said, that might be interesting. Walmart is trying to improve employee morale by playing less Justin Bieber and Celine Dion in its stores. Workers were going crazy listening to the same music over and over again, so now they're going to have a DJ create fresh playlists and pump the feed into stores. Hi there, Gary Stevens, Walmart DJ. You tired of the Justin Bieber and the Celine Dion? How about some new music? Gary Stevens, I'll be right over after I enter, create the internet.
Mike,
and,
it's the
microwave.
It's like things coming true. We had you as a Walmart disc jockey 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And now they've created the job. Get your tape over there.
Yeah, but I wouldn't
good
do any
good pipes
music.
Can travel.
I do all talk. I do all talk, and I'd have a closed-circuit camera that I could move on a stick, and I could watch people's asses
great.
As
that
I'm going
would be
through.
Great.
Also good.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to Walmart Radio. How you doing today? Hope you're enjoying the wonderful talk. We're checking out a lady on aisle number 4B. You seriously walked out of the house wearing that today. You thought that looked good. Okay, let's flip over to the guy over in the gun section. Sir, hygiene is not just a lofty concept, okay? It's a way to live your life, you stupid slacker. Walmart Radio, Mike O'Mara with you there. Hey, everybody, how's it going? Hey, we got a special on coolers today.
Styrofoam coolers.
Super. All right, I'm going to take a bathroom break. You got to amuse yourselves for about 10 minutes. Why don't you check out the food section? And if you're really, really curious, we'll tell you where those apples really come from.
Oh,
anyway, so moving right along, everybody. 46-year-old Melanie Dodaro of Kelowna, British Columbia, and I hope it's not Kelowna because it's sort of spelled that way, but K-E-L-O-W-N-A, Kelowna or Kelowna, British Columbia. She spent her whole life without ever meeting her father. She just knew that he was a guy from the Netherlands who visited Canada in 1968 and had a one-night stand with her mother. But she really started searching earlier this year and posted on Facebook about how badly she wanted to meet him. Then a Dutch newspaper found out about her quest and actually managed to track the guy down. This is so weird. Turns out he's a guy named Colin De Jong, and he works as an Elvis impersonator in Thailand.
Of course he does. He's one of those guys.
even though that must have been disappointing for Melanie, she and Colin are thrilled they're in touch, and she's heading to Thailand soon to meet the guy. Isn't that good news? That's good for everybody.
Yeah. Thailand.
And now a little something-something. There is a... I got to be delicate with this.
Please. Oh,
thanks to our good friends at KCJJ. There is a new treatment that some women are using to tighten up things down there.
Ooh.
Always good to keep it tight. Oscar, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
The treatment, you're right, Oscar, is named Rejuvela. It involves injecting platelet-rich plasma. Remember, I had that done for my hip. Remember, it didn't work.
Right.
PRP, derived from your own blood, back into the vaginal tissue. Supposedly, it makes the vagine... plumper and improves the sensation, boosts libido, and increases the frequency and intensity of your special moments.
Hey, how about that?
According to one of the inventors, Dr. Daniel Sister, the freaky treatment can also be used for medical purposes, helping women who suffer from pain during the dirty deed. Although it's unclear how exactly the treatment works to decrease the pain. Doctors who perform the treatment say the benefits of the injection should last for a year. Aside from the obvious pain of having the needle and all that, the treatment carries zero risk because it's your own blood. The entire procedure takes a mere 30 minutes, costs upward of about $1,200, but it's currently only available at clinics in London and Ireland. I don't know about London, but I know the Irish love a real tight drink. There we go. Thank you. Way to start the week.
Nice.
We'll take a break, everybody. Come back. It's the Magic Audio Vault with Rob Spiewak. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Hey there, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hi, I'm Count Basie.
You wish you were Count Basie.
You're right.
Yeah, but we're going to talk all that jazz on this week's edition of the show. We talk about what a great night we had seeing Sarah Partridge sing.
That's easy to talk about.
Yeah, it was a great, great night. We got to do a little comedy.
Yeah, very little.
That's true. And Gary brings mistakes with words. It's all on the current episode. Be sure to subscribe to The Tony Perkins Show on iTunes.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Turn that music down for a second, Rob.
Yeah.
I want to tell a story.
Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a land far, far away, there was a Bolivian farmer. And that Bolivian farmer made lovely ponchos.
Ponchos?
Ponchos that could, could prevent you from getting cold. They could warm you in winter. They could actually cool you in the hot sun. That's how good these ponchos were.
Amazing multitasking.
Made out of llama wool.
I don't know what I'm doing. Shut that music off. I don't want
to
do this anymore.
Hey.
By the bonus show. That's all I wanted to say.
Please.
I was
going
to do a whole story.
We're back,
Oscar,
baby.
Bottom line is Oscar wants you to buy the bonus packages because it would make him very, very happy.
Yeah.
And Oscar, the metrics that you talk about all the time, how are they doing?
They
with the,
need to move if we need another internet line in Maine.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
right. Yes, absolutely. Yes. We got to get that. We want to get us another internet line. We need it desperately.
Get us.
You get the whole thing. You get all those wonderful Friday shows we do.
where we get to cuss, where we do shows that we don't do normally during the week, and they're very special, and you're going to enjoy it, and we are working our asses off to provide you with wonderful bonus shows each and every week on The Mike O'Mara Show. The least you could do is plop down a little of your hard-earned cash and put it in The Mike O'Mara Show coffers so we can give you our bonus shows every single week.
Easy please, access. Ladies and gentlemen,
I don't want to cancel the bonus shows.
No.
No. You're, no.
I don't want to do that. I have no intention of doing that. Just thought I'd say that to upset Oscar.
No greater joy than when you say something like that and then look right in the camera.
Yeah. I don't want to.
No one wants that.
But I will. There you go. Should be a lot of fun. Oh, yeah, we have to open up the audio vault. Sorry about that. Let's open up the audio vault for Monday, June 8, 2015. Rob Sewick.
Does the name Peter Robbins mean anything to you?
Yeah. Peter Robbins and I walked along under Honey Bear.
Christopher Robbins, Mike.
Well, I wonder where he was. Okay, go ahead.
This is the fellow that did the voice of Charlie Brown in the first two Charlie Brown specials.
I can do that voice.
It's
can do that.
It's a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Please, Eddie.
That's Roger Rabbit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And also, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. He had a bad day. He was in court, and he yelled at the judge. So by means of comparison, let's hear this young fellow in 1965 when he was age 9, okay?
I guess you were right, Linus. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about.
So sad.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
So he's a little older now. He would be born in 1954, which makes him 56, I guess 71.
Yeah.
And so let's hear Charlie Brown in court this past week.
I have not committed any crime. I'm telling you, I never criminally threatened this woman. In order for it to be a criminal threat to she has to believe that I would kill her. I wouldn't kill her. I have never had any violent behavior. Good luck to you.
Have a nice
I hope
day.
You drop dead of a heart attack.
Whoa.
He's roughing me up. He's got a gun. Run
and they took him out of...
Makes him 61, Rob. 61.
That's right. Actually, 59, I think.
Well, who cares? Whoa. The man lost it.
He's damn near 60.
He's
damn near
60. He's born in 54, then he's 5 years older than I am.
All right. Okay, I guess you're right. I'm sorry.
Mike, if you sound like that in 5 years, 60, 70, there's going to be a problem. 50,
yeah.
5 years, that would make him 61.
He's roughing me up.
The bad thing.
The bad thing. What do you mean, in 5 years? I sound like that now.
The bad thing is when the judge actually passed the sentence, it was really sad.
That's the teacher. I like that.
When they escorted him out of the courtroom, he was so sad.
Oh, that is so cruel.
It is.
That's funny.
Now, seldom is something so visual sounds so good audio-wise. This clip is on our YouTube page and on our Facebook page. Cops in Idaho got a new Segway scooter. And it's beautiful. It has the word Idaho Police right on it. And they get on it in the conference room to try it out. This is really going to revolutionize crime fighting as soon as they figure out how to drive it.
That is hilarious.
There's going to have to be a little training.
We'll show you how to work this thing.
That sounds so Iowa, doesn't it?
Idaho, but yeah.
Idaho.
What?
Your tax dollars at work right there. And then the police chief came in and said, this surprised me. Fox News asked Marco Rubio about his favorite kind of music. These are the kind of hard-hitting questions all the candidates get at this point in the presidential election.
Well, especially the stuff that came out of the West Coast and California in the 90s when Dre and then, you know, Tupac went West Coast and abandoned the East Coast and all. That was a good time.
I like it.
You're fun.
A Biggie fan then, obviously.
No, Biggie's East Coast. That wasn't the...
Yeah,
that
that's what I mean. You're East Coast, though.
No, but I'm a West Coast fan.
Oh, you're two more Tupac.
I didn't think they should have shot each other and had a dispute that way, but I was West Coast fan, you know, so Tupac went over to West Coast and went to Death Row Records, and they produced this one of the greatest rap albums ever, which was the one that Dre put out where it had California and all these other
California
songs.
California
Not on camera.
This is commercial.
I like the rap fan that has to be the politician, and he says he loves the album, but they shouldn't have gotten
shot
into guns.
They shouldn't have shot each other.
Settled a dispute that way.
I know, that is too good. I like that.
I'm sure you didn't watch the second game of the NBA Finals, what with the Tonys on last night.
Oh my God,
I didn't know they still put them on TV.
I am such a queen. I actually did watch the Tonys in it.
I was delighted because I called
you. Would you not agree the gayest Tonys ever?
You know what? Alan Cumming really brought it.
Yeah.
And Kristen Chenoweth, you're talented. You don't need to try that hard. Please dial it back. You're not on stage for 40,000. You're on television. There's a camera and a microphone and everything.
The Tonys.
But last night, one of the key things I thought was really cool at the NBA Finals. You know who did the national anthem? Carlos Santana.
Ooh.
Based in the area of the Golden State Warriors, and I believe that is his daughter or his wife. He has one of his relatives on the drum, the lady drummer with him. So the finals tied one game each, and that is your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Buddy, get us out of here. By the way, go Cavs. I read a book years ago called The Whore of Akron about LeBron James.
That. Yeah.
He went back to Cleveland. Yeah. It has nothing to do with LeBron James, has everything to do with the Cleveland Cavaliers winning a championship for that long-suffering sports city. I'm a Cavs fan, and Golden State suffered for a number of years as well, but I'd love to see the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It surprises me, Mike, whenever you talk about Cleveland, you usually have a more Cavalier attitude.
I don't care.
if they win, it's fine. If they don't, I don't care.
Remember, tell somebody about our bonus package. And for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Thanks to Audible.com for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with over 150,000 downloadable titles. For a free audiobook of your choice, just go to audiblepodcast.com/TMOS. Remember, go to audiblepodcast.com/TMOS and get your free audiobook. Thank you, Audible.
Yo-ho!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.